Today, guys, we're talking about surrender. We talked about surrender this last few weeks. And last time we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you know the story, it's from Daniel chapter 3. And these are the boys that had to bow down because, or were supposed to bow down. But if you remember the story, they would not. They just would not bow down. They wouldn't disobey their God, even in a foreign land. Now, here's the thoughts, and this is what can be really challenging. It can be sometimes easier to stand than it is to surrender. Surrender is hard. Surrender is letting go. Surrender is one of those things that's really, really difficult. And here's what it says in Genesis chapter 22. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to go Genesis 22 all the way to the Old Testament, all the way back to the start of the book. And here's what it says. We're going to start off on the cliff edge right from the beginning. Then God said, take your son, your only son, and it looks good. We're all going to be good. We're going to go for a walk here. Whom you love, Isaac. And Abraham's going, yeah, sure, I know him. And then go to the mountain, region of Moriah, which is a cool region. Let's go there. Like, sounds cool. And then the next part is just crazy. Sacrifice him there. Sacrifice him there. You're going, is this the same thing? Like, you know, this is not, we're going to have a bar. You know, like sometimes people have a barbecue and they don't cook things. They sacrifice things, like just like a burnt offering. And you just have to hope in the end that it's like you can eat this thing. But come on, guys, we are talking real talk now. This is God comes to Abraham and he says, I want you to take your son, your only son, the son that you love. And I want you to take him for a walk. And all of that's cool. And all of that sounds really good. But I need you to sacrifice him. And you're going, what? Sacrifice? I thought our God was a God of love. I thought our God was a good God. Here's what it says. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. You see, sometimes courage isn't just standing up. It's laying down. Sometimes courage is not just, I'll stand, I'll fight. You know, no one can take me out. All of those type of things. Siege mentality. We'll never lose. We're going to win at all costs. But sometimes it's just plain old surrender. And surrender, I think surrender is 10 times harder than standing. I think surrender is one of those things where that innate inside of you, that innate strength inside of you, that innate, I will fight at all costs. I will never give up at all. That's what starts to come out. It's like, I won't be beaten. You know, doesn't matter if you're fighting your brother and you're 3 or you're trying to, I don't know, do something and you're 55. Like there's a fight inside of us. The idea of surrender, it's not a natural thing. I don't want to surrender. I do not want to give up control. I do not want to give up my rights. I do not want to give up my thing. I want to keep it. I want to stay strong. But God comes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, you're going to have to give up your son. And so my question right from the very beginning is this. What are you still holding on to that God's already asked you to let go of? What are you still holding on to that God's already asked you to sacrifice? Because maybe there's some things in your life, and look, it can start off small. It's like that thing that, you know, is a good thing, but it's taking up all of your time. It's called a little phone, and you spend about 6 hours every day on it. No, stop doing it, you know? And we can justify it as long as we want or as much as we want, but if it is killing all of our time and taking all of our thoughts, then it's robbing us of a much better life. Trust me, a much better life. But for Abraham, God comes to him and he says, Abraham, this is not going to be a little thing. This is going to be a big thing. I've come for your son. And you're going, really? Really, Lord? Is this the thing? And maybe you're here today and the Lord's already starting to speak to your heart and you've already said really a million times, really, Lord? Is it really that thing? Is it really that person? Is it really that issue? And the Lord just keeps speaking. It's that thing. It's that thing. It's that thing. And as we get deeper into it, what you're going to realize is, yes, there's a huge cost to sacrifice, but let me tell you this. And yes, there's a huge cost to surrender, but let me tell you this. God has better things in store than you can imagine. And what it's really coming down to in this relationship, in this walk with God, because that's all that Abraham's doing. He's going for a walk with God. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be followers of Christ, which means every day you're going for a walk with God. Like that's what we're doing in your workplace, in your family. We're going to go walkies, but that sounds funny. But you know, we're going to walk with God. And along the way, he's going to challenge us with the things that we're maybe not ready for. And sometimes it's like, no more ice cream for a year. Like, okay, well, I love ice cream. But, you know, and then other times he's going to come just like he came this day in Genesis 22. And he says, Abraham, I want Isaac. Sorry, Lord. Like, yeah, Isaac. Could you not have one of the other sons? No, he doesn't have any other sons. This is the only one he has. This is his son, the one that he loves. This is everything. This is his whole world. But what are the things you're still holding on to that maybe God's already asked you to surrender? See, sometimes here's what surrender's like. Standing up is sometimes easier, but laying down is sometimes harder. Fighting the enemy is sometimes more straightforward, but opening your hands to God is sometimes impossible. Not providing strength, not being strong enough or, you know, letting go of your strength sometimes can be easier, but exposing your heart, Lord, I don't want to expose my heart. I don't want to let that thing go. I don't want to give that thing up. I want to be courageous. I want to be a person of courage. I'm going to take courage. I'm going to fight every enemy that's coming. And God says, the enemy is within now. Abraham, I have come for you. I have come for your heart. I have come for your life. And God is coming for our hearts, guys. And he's coming for our lives. And he wants to see us set free even from ourselves. Imagine that. He wants to see us set free even from ourselves. In Genesis 22, it feels like it's about Isaac. But as we get into the story, you're going to realize it's all about Abraham. And today, it's all about you. And you might think it's all about that thing that, no, I can never give that up. I can never give that up. I can never let that go. That's not it. It's here. It's you. And God is trying to get you. You see, Genesis 22, God comes to Abraham and he asks him for one thing. And it's the thing that means more to him than anything else in the whole world. But what happens next is incredible. Genesis 22 goes on to say this. It says that he gets up early the next morning. It's like he gets the word from God, and then without hesitation. Now, I don't know what happens in those hours in between, but it seems that he gets up. He gets up. He gets up early the next morning. You might be saying, I'm not surprised because I wouldn't be able to sleep either. But he gets up the next morning. He doesn't deliberate on it for days. He doesn't pray on it for days. He doesn't hang around for days. Guys, can I just encourage you? When was the last time God spoke to you, and instead of getting up early the next morning and doing it, you find yourself 20 years later? You know, you find yourself like 15 days later, you find yourself reasoning, you find yourself trying to figure things out. Remember, your mind is incredible, but it doesn't work the way that God works. It doesn't. How many times has God spoken to you about a scenario and he says, come on, just do this. And then we start trying to work out how to do this. Instead, Abraham just took a step and he got up the next morning without hesitation. I'm not saying it was easy. I'm not saying he wanted to, but he got up the next morning and he followed God because he knew God and he knew God's heart. You see, when we were talking about it last week, what did we find from Jesus in Gethsemane? There's this incredible story of Jesus. He knows he's going to the cross. He's been telling his disciples for a long time, boys, be ready. At some point, I'm going to have to go. At some point, I'm going to have to go. And then you get this scenario, and he's in Gethsemane. He's in the garden, and it says that he begins to he feels the weight. You ever had that thing where, you know, you got a phone call or you got a message from someone, and suddenly your whole body starts reacting? It's just like, whoa, it could be hot flushes because you're in love. I know some people are in love here, but it might be the opposite way. You know, maybe the opposite way where you're like, when Chelsea saw her new puppy, oh my goodness, she was in love. Come on. So, you know, your body does things. You know, it's not even your mind sometimes. It's just like, but this was Jesus right there in the garden. And he started to feel the weight. He started to feel the sin. He started to feel the issues of life. And what happens? It's like, whoa, there's blood coming out, and I'm not cut anywhere. There's no wound. It's coming from my sweat drops. This is the pressure that he was under. This is the pressure that he was feeling at that moment. And you remember the discussion. It says, Lord, is there any other way? He begins to pray. He begins to talk to God. Is there any other way? He begins to talk to God. And then very quickly he goes, okay, Lord, but not my will, yours be done. To me, that is the greatest prayer of surrender I have ever seen or heard. And maybe you're in a position in your life where you're going, Lord, I don't know. And you're trying to figure everything else out. What if it was just as simple as that? Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I know you're good. And so I surrender to you. I give it all up. I give it all up because your way is far better anyway. And that was Jesus. And a moment or two later, he's arrested. A moment or two later, he's on the cross. A moment or two later, he's going through the greatest trial of his whole life. But it started with a prayer, not my will, but yours be done. This is surrender. It's the hardest thing on the planet. Hardest thing on the planet. But will it lead to breakthrough? You can be sure of it. The cross led to incredible breakthrough. See, Jesus didn't just surrender because he had no other options. Think about this now just for a moment. He surrendered because he trusted the Father more than he trusted his own feelings, our own thoughts, our own imagination, our own comfort. He surrendered to the Father because he trusted the Father more than he trusted himself. And I think for some of us guys, we got to get real, because we say we don't trust ourselves. Oh no, like I don't know anything. But then when we're asked to surrender, we're like, no, I can never do that. And there's this weird sort of like back and forth where, you know, we say we're no good, but we're stubborn. You know, we say we're no good at this, but you couldn't move us if you paid us, you know? And I want to say to our hearts today, what if the Lord would come to you and he would come to you and he say, hey, I need Isaac. And the question might be, what is your Isaac? It might be just a little thing, or it might be bigger and better and more unseen and more off from left field and more than you can imagine. And you go, oh my goodness, Lord, how did you pick that thing? Come on, Isaac was the most precious thing that Abraham had. But he realized in this moment, I serve God and I'm going his way. We're talking about taking courage and we're talking about surrender. Point number one is this: surrender exposes what you're really holding on to. Surrender always exposes what you're really holding on to. Guys, when you think Genesis 22, you've got the story of Abraham and Isaac. God doesn't need Isaac, does he? Like, why would God ask that question? He doesn't need Isaac. God's not into killing people. God's not into killing kids. That's not his heart. What on earth is he trying to do here? God's trying to get Abraham. God's trying to get his whole heart. In fact, if you would read it, Genesis 22, read the whole story. It says in the very first line, Genesis 22:1, God came to test Abraham. This whole thing's a test. God has come to test his life and test his heart. Why? Because he has good things in store for Abraham, but he needs to know where his allegiance is. He needs to know where his heart is. He needs to know what's got first place in his life. And it's not because God's got an ego, but it's because God's got a heart. Amen? God's got a heart. And he knows that if he does not have first place in your life, then something else does, and nobody else loves you like him. Nobody else, because nobody else died for you, nobody else created you, nobody else knows you, and nobody else loves you like him. And if you get anything else into that first place, it becomes an idol. And God comes to Abram and he says, Abram, I've got big plans for you. I know what your life is about. Can I just say it like this? God knows about your life and he knows the plans that he has for your life and he wants to see those plans be fulfilled. But God is too loving and too kind to do something to you that would ever harm you. And so he comes to Abraham that day and he says, Abraham, I've come to test you because it's time for an upgrade. It's time to go to a different place. It's time for me to take you to another level with me. But are you ready? So I've got to test your heart. And maybe God's here today and he's testing your heart. And maybe he's been speaking to you for a while. And again, here's what the word says about your heart. You can't trust it. You can't trust your heart. The only thing you can do with your heart is surrender it. That is what we need to do. We have to surrender our hearts. And so when God comes to Abraham, what's he trying to do? Surrender will expose what you're really holding on to. And when the test comes, what will you hold on to? You see, you got to realize for Abraham, he had waited 25 years for Isaac to come. He was the miracle son. He had prayed for him. He had waited for him. He had fasted for him. He had looked for him. This was the promise of God. This was the promise of God. And so here's what I'm saying about surrender. It's not always going to look like it's a bad thing. The most dangerous thing in your life may not be a bad thing. It might be a good thing. Ever thought about that? The most dangerous thing in your life to separate you from God and the call of God on your life may not be a bad thing. It might be a good thing. Maybe a good thing. Maybe that career that you've always dreamed of, but it might get in the way. And it might be the thing. And here's what God's not saying. God's not saying, I want your career. I want your wife. I want your kids because I don't want, you know, anything to get between us because he's insecure because he's got needs. No, that's not the way God works. But every time God left his people to their own devices, you know what they did? Sin came and golden calves were made and people started cheating on other people and people started killing other people and people started overrunning other people and people started getting jealous of other people. And guess what? The world got worse, not better. The world got worse, not better. And so when we come to God, we come to God saying, God, I have nothing to offer you but my sin, but I'll give you it, and I hope that you could do something with my life. And so when God comes to Abraham that day, he's not coming jealously. He's not coming, come on, church. He's not coming to Abraham going, oh, I'm jealous, and I don't like the way you've got Isaac, and I don't like the way you look at him. Come on, that's not what God's saying. God's not saying that. God's saying, Abraham, be careful. be careful, because I am a loving God, but the devil hits your guts. Come on. I'm a loving God, but the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm a loving God, but I tell you what, everything else in this life is just trying to rob you and take away from you. And I want to make sure, Abraham, that your heart is ready for the next season, because I have incredible plans, and my plans are going to work through you, and they're going to see nations transformed. But I need to know your heart, and I need to know what's going on in your heart, and I want to make sure there's nothing in there, because what's the first commandment? Come on, you'd have one God and there'd be no other gods before him. Come on, you'd have one God and there'd be no, and anything else that gets the first place, anything else, anything else, anyone else that gets the first place becomes an idol. And the minute you start to worship idols, oh my goodness, you're already gone. You're already gone. You're already gone. And so God comes to Abram this day and he says, come on, son, I've got work to do. Abram had waited 25 years for his boy. Isaac was the promise fulfilled, the miracle son, the thing Abram had prayed for and wept for and waited for years. And then God says, give him back to me. Give him back to me. Wow. But this is my life, Lord. This is my thing. Come on, Lord, this is my life. This is my heart. This is my precious thing. This is my son. This is my daughter. This is my wife. This is my girlfriend. And the Lord comes to him that day and he says, but give him back to me. Give him back to me. Church, this is surrender. Surrender is not light. Surrender is not easy. Surrender is not one of those things that you can do and it doesn't cost you a thought. Surrender will cost you everything. And so what's your Isaac today? I wrote down a few things maybe to challenge your heart. It might be a plan. It might be a career. It might be a reputation. It might be a relationship. It might be financial security. It might be control of your future. But I'm telling you this. You can hold on to all of those things, and what happens if those things are not as good as God? Come on, I'm asking a silly question. What if you hold on to all of those things and those things don't give you the life that you hope for? What if you hold on to those things and in actual fact, those things are not what you thought? You thought they were a hot air balloon to bring you to the highest height, but they were actually a dead weight that was making you sink to the bottom. Oh my goodness. Could it be that God would give Isaac the one that he waited for and Isaac would be the one that would destroy Abraham's life? No, God gave him a fantastic gift, but God also knew there's an enemy who's real and he comes to try to infiltrate and destroy at all costs. And so God comes to Abraham, he says, Abraham, I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to come and I'm going to search your heart. See, surrender isn't about losing everything. It's about holding your hands open. And I think this is the way of the kingdom, church. It's like, can I open my hands? Can I open my hands to anything that's going on? Can I open my hands to the different things that's going on in my life? I want to open my hands up because I want God to come and transform me. This is surrender, church. This is surrender. Maybe you're here today and you're going, I don't know if I want to open my hands up to certain things. Come on, you know the things that God's challenged you with. Isaac was the most precious thing that Abraham had. I don't know what your Isaac is, but it's not going to be a light thing. It's not going to be a piece of money. It's going to be something deep. It's going to be you. And that's what Abraham had to give up. He had to give up himself. Matthew 16:25, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever wants to lose their life for me will find it. Here's the word of God, church. Here's the word of God. Come on, don't get distracted. Plug in with me now. Don't get distracted. Matthew 16:25, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever will lose their life for me will find it. Church, this is real talk now. We're about to step into a season that's going to cost us everything. And when you step into a season, it's about to cost you everything. If you don't know where God is and you don't know who's in control of your life and who's leading your life, you can lose your life in a second. You can. You see it. You see all these different ministries. You see all these different organizations that might be going 50, 60 years. But the minute they take their eyes off Jesus, you sink harder than the Titanic. Let me just say it like that. You sink fast and hard. And when we come to Christ, if we don't hold on to him, and if we don't know where he is, and we don't know what our Isaac is, and if we don't sacrifice that to him, I'm telling you this, it will be the very gift that God give you will be the very thing that destroys your life. And that's what the Lord is saying to Abraham this day. He's saying, Abraham, I'm not against Isaac, but I'm trying to get your heart. I'm trying to get your heart. And God is here today, church, and he's trying to get your heart. And he doesn't want you to mess around any longer. And he doesn't want you to get distracted any longer. And he doesn't want you to get consumed in other things because he realizes life is short and time is short and it's going so quickly. And he wants to grab your heart. And he wants that urgency to sweep over your life. And he wants to say, I love you more than you can imagine. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. Point number two, surrender exposes double life. See, Genesis 22:3 says like this, early the next morning, Abram got up. No delays, no negotiation. He just got up. I didn't know what that light in the night was like before. Did he sleep? Did he not sleep? But he gets up the next day and it's like as if he's just going to do it. And I think there's a lesson in this for us, church. I think sometimes we're delaying too long. I think we're waiting too long. We're trying to figure things out too long. We got to get up and we got to get busy in the things of God. And it says that he began to walk. And I don't know if you know, but when you read this later on, I encourage you, Genesis 22, it says this. He walked for 3 days. 3 days. This was not, let's go, Isaac, we're just going to carry a little walk. We'll go around the corner and 30 minutes later, we'll be there. This is 3 days. 3 days, the longest walk of his whole life. 3 days, the longest, darkest walk of his whole life. And yet he does not flinch and he does not stop. He's going because he's going to follow God no matter what. You see, he got up and went. And most of us don't do this because here's what I've seen and this is what I've noticed is that we sing surrender on Sunday, but when we get to Monday, full control. I want it my way, Lord. I want it my way, Lord. You know, we even make plans and then we ask the Lord to bless them. The Lord's going, I don't know if I made that plan. I don't know if that's my plan for your life. You know, sometimes we get ourselves in a position where we have to find out what the next thing is. And so we just, our mind gravitates to something or we get consumed on something. Then we go, okay, this is the word of God. This is what I got to do. But when God came to Abraham, Abraham had never conceived that he would give up a son. But when God came to him, he said, okay, Lord. And he gets up early the next morning and he goes. See, we worship sometimes with our hands lifted up, but then we close our fists. Because we're like, no, I got to do it my way. I'm going to live my way. I'm going to do it this way, my way. I don't want to encourage you. We've got to live a life of surrender. You know, sometimes we say, God, I trust you. And then we work out every single detail. You ever been there? You know, you're trying to work out something that you really, maybe it's a person, maybe it's a situation, and you really love them, and you really love it, and you're trying to work it all out. And it's so exhausting. It's so hard. I mean, come on, we're trying to get all this money and you're going to say, well, maybe this can happen, that can happen. Come on, it's God's going to do it. We simply have to be obedient. Now, here's the best case scenario when you try to control your whole life, you just get exhausted. Here's the best case scenario when it's a double life, you just get exhausted. But you know what the worst case scenario is when a double life? Is that it's sin and it takes you out. And this is what it is. Because a double life isn't just inconvenient, it's dangerous. See, sin thrives in the secret place. Here's what it says in James 1:15. This is crazy. After desire has conceived. So think of your desires. You've got all these different desires. And, you know, come on, Lord, I'm going to surrender all to you. And, you know, I'm going to give you all of my life. And then you've got desire. And desire is one of those strong feelings, isn't it? Like God actually said it. He says, my deep desire is that all should be saved. So desire is a God-given thing. It's an incredible thing. But it is so strong. When you get a desire for something and that begins to build and escalate, it's almost you will do it no matter what. And look what it says. Desire does something. After desire has come to pass, it conceives. And conceives, like it goes on to say, it gives birth to sin. So watch what happens. You get a desire in your heart and it will begin to conceive. And before you know it, you'll be pregnant with sin. And then where does it go to? It says, then that sin will become fully grown and it will give birth to death. Wow. I thought it was just messing around. I thought it didn't matter what you did. I thought it didn't matter what you saw. I thought it didn't matter who you slept with. I thought it didn't matter how many or this or that. But you put it in. I don't need to go into all the gory details. I didn't think it mattered if you live God's way. I didn't think it would matter. Like we do 99% of the Bible. It's just that one thing. Like I didn't think it would matter if we didn't give to God. I didn't think it would matter if we did this thing or that thing. I'm telling you, oh my goodness, will it matter? Oh my goodness. Because it's not necessarily even about the actions, it's the desire. And that desire starts to give birth, and before you know it, you end up from desire to death. Church, this is real talk, isn't it? Come on, you're going home, my goodness, I thought I was just coming to church, and then we're going home for Sunday dinner, and next week's Mother and Sunday, and it's all going to be good. No, because desire turns to death. This is what happens. And you're going, isn't that what we're talking about today? Abraham, I want you to give me your son, the son that you love, your only son, Isaac. I want you to lay him down. Is God not asking for death? No. Here's what God's asking for, death to self. And death to self looks like surrender. And surrender, I don't know how you do it, but a lot of the times our surrender is best done on the floor. You know, I want to encourage you, if you have times with the Lord, I think you need times in the Lord, whether it be in the room here or at home in your own room, you need to get on the floor and you just need to worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. And there's something about just posturing yourself on the floor. You just go, oh my goodness, I was in a watery grave. I was lost with no hope, but praise the Lord for Jesus. And you just, I don't know, maybe you begin to weep. But I tell you one thing, you will not get up to see him. You won't get up to see him. You won't. Because in that place of surrender, he begins to touch your heart. He begins to touch your mind. And all that stuff that you thought you were getting away with, because that's what sin always does, doesn't it? Come on, I've been there. You've been there. We're not hiding it. Christians all have sin in their lives. We shouldn't, but we do. We're dead to sin, but a lot of the times, well, every time we decide to sin. And so we got to go to war with sin. Otherwise, it begins to take us over. But it's deceitful. Because always there's not a big deal. It's just a little thing. It's just this. It's never a little thing. Desire starts to have birth, and by the end of it, it turns to death. See, the double life will rob you of your peace. Maybe you're wondering where your peace is. What if it's been robbed and stolen? It'll rob you of your relationships, your calling, your future, and God can't publicly promote what's going on in your private life if it's that. And so you're going, is there any hope? There absolutely is. There's absolutely hope. It says this in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us. See, confession is not weakness, it is courage. Confession is not weakness, it is courage. And today it's interesting because God didn't come to Abraham at a season in his life where he was sinful and he was doing bad things. God came to Abraham when he was living his best life possible. He had been praying, he had been seeking God, he had been living for God, he had been doing, the blessing of his life is right there, Isaac. Come on, this was not Abraham, the real bad guy. He's drinking on the side. You know, he's cheating on his wife. Like, there's all sorts of different things going on. And so I'm going to come to Abraham. I'm going to challenge him. I'm going to force him to surrender. No, what I'm trying to say to you, church, he came to Abraham on his best day. And he said to me, Abraham, I still have something I need to check. It's your heart. It's your heart. And I want to challenge you guys. You may be sitting here going, well, there's people way worse than me here. It's not about that. It's about your future. It's about your heart. And God's coming to your life today. And he's going, hey, what is your Isaac? It might be that you're drinking far too much, but it might just be that you've got something else that's getting in the way that's a good thing, but it could rob you of everything. Amen? And God's coming to us, and God's coming with love and with kindness, and he's coming to set us free. And now we've got to where we need to get to. This whole thing's about freedom. It's all about freedom, church. Everything that the Lord is trying to do in your life is to set you free. What was Isaac becoming? He was becoming a burden to Abraham. What could Isaac have become? He could have been a blessing that became a dynamite. He was a blessing that was could have become what would remove Abraham from his destiny and from his freedom. And I want to say to us today, church, God has paid far too high a price for you to lose out on your freedom. And so sometimes he's going to come to you and he's going to startle you and he's going to surprise you and he's going to come to you and he's going to go, hey, I need you to give up Isaac. You go, Lord, what? What? That's my career. Or that's my loved one. Or that's the only thing that keeps me going. Or that's my car. Or that's whatever. You put in your Isaac. You put in whatever it is. Let the Lord talk to your heart, but it will be a hard thing. It will be a difficult thing, but will it be worth it? Absolutely. Come on, we got to get to the end of the story. You're going to see what happens. See, when it comes to Jesus and it comes to him, I think we got to mention over and over again, Luke chapter 6, 46, here's what it says. Jesus talking to some of his friends, some of his disciples, said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? This is interesting, right? Because Jesus is not just Savior, he is Lord with a capital L. It should be whatever way. It should be L, you know, capital L. Now, Lord is a very significant thing, and this is why it's so important for our lives, because, you know, maybe there's a president out there, there's a prime minister out there, there's a king out there. They have a certain amount of authority. But when you come to Jesus, he says, I want to save you, but I also want to become your Savior. I want to become your Lord. And when we live our lives with God, we have to be very careful because when we're walking with God, guess what? He's going to remind us that he's Lord and he has to be Lord of your life because if he's not Lord of your life, guess what? Guess who is? Look in the mirror, you know? And if you're Lord of your life, then he's not. And he knows that you're the problem and you need to be put to death. That's why he came and died on the cross so you could die to self. Come on, church, if we're not careful, if God's not Lord of my life, then somebody else is. And the chances are it's you. And I don't want to be Lord of my life. I need him to be Lord of my life. Now, here's where it gets extra crazy. Because this whole thing, you're going, I thought the Bible was fun and lovely. But here's what it says. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Because I don't even know what you say. I don't even know you. I don't even know who you are. But we cast out demons in your name. Like we prophesy. We raise the dead. I don't even know you. Church, there's a relationship with God that we must have where we must understand that fear, honor, love, grace, respect, Lord, it has to be there. It has to be there. And when Abraham comes before the Lord, here's what the Lord's saying. I need to be Lord of your life. I need to be Lord of your life. And when the Lord speaks, you do what he says. Doesn't matter if he's a dictator or he's good. It's all the same thing. The only difference is with the Lord, he is good. He's good all the way through. And Abraham knows this is the Lord speaking. I trust him more than anything else. Guys, I want to challenge your heart. Is he Lord of your life? And that's what I mean. Is he Lord? If he speaks, are you going into debate mode? Or are you going, okay, Lord, I trust you? Are you getting up early the next morning, first thing, because you know the Lord's spoken? Or is it like, oh, no big deal. He's got loads of grace. I'll be fine. You know? Come on, we've all been there. I'm not saying it's just you. We've all been there. We sin some more. We come to church on Sunday, we raise our hands, it's all good, Jesus loves me. You know, then we get convicted. But you know how it goes. We talked about conviction a few weeks ago. You start to lose that conviction. You start to lose it. And so God comes to Abram on his best day and he says, Abram, I need to do something with your heart. Will you trust me? And Abram says, okay, I'll trust you. And God's maybe here with you today. And he's saying, I want to do something on a good day for you. I want to do something with you. And I want you to trust me because I love you so much. Here's what it says, Genesis 22:12. As he's going and he brings him up and he ties him up. And we'll look at this in just a moment. Here's what it says, verse 12. God speaks out and he says, do not lay a hand on the boy, he says. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld with me your son, your only son. Wow. Wow. You're going, is God playing games here? No. This would be the cruelest game you ever seen. Remember, this was a three-day walk. This was a three-day walk with the son that you love along the way. If you remember the story, maybe you'll read it later. Isaac begins to talk. He says, Dad, I'm confused. We've been on many fires together. We've done it. We've had so much fun. We always go to the mountains. But I'm just confused because we've got the wood. We've got all we need, but I can't find the sacrifice. Imagine that for a conversation. Your sacrifice starts to speak. You know, your son begins to speak because that's what sons do. Come on, this is not going to be easy. This is going to be hard. But that three-day walk was for Abraham. It wasn't for God. That three-day walk was for Abraham because God wanted to know, Isaac wanted to know, Abraham, do you really mean this thing? You're going, God, why can you not lift this? Why can it not be shorter? Why can it not be faster? Why do I have to do this? Because God's testing your heart because he knows an enemy's going to come and he's going to test you. And so after 3 days, he takes his son and then they climb the mountain. Imagine, it's not just 3 days walk, it's then climb the mountain and then it's tie him all up, and he's ready to go through with it. And suddenly the Lord speaks, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on your son. Wow. Of course he's good. It was never about Isaac. It was always about Abraham. And then point three, and we're going to wrap up. Surrender unlocks what God has prepared. You see, Genesis 22:13, the most beautiful thing. Abraham looked up, and there caught in the trees was a ram. Oh my goodness, the Lord had always provided. See, church, here's the thing you don't realize. God is asking you to surrender. And if you get your eyes fixated on the sacrifice, you'll never see what the Lord's doing. If you get yourself so fixated on Isaac, you'll never see the Lord. And this is really what God's trying to do. He sent Isaac, he sent Abraham, are your eyes on me or is your eyes on the son? Is your eyes on me? Is your eyes on that precious thing? Is your eyes on me or is your eyes on Isaac? Because when it's all said and done, if our eyes are on Isaac, we'll never get our eyes to God. We'll miss it. But guess what? The whole way along, as they're walking for the 3 days, as they're climbing the mountain, as he's tying them up, guess who was on the mountain the whole time? The ram. Guess who was on the mountain the whole time? The sacrifice was always there. God had already prepared it. Gosh, guys, it's like, can you imagine? Like all those years ago, was this 25 years in the making? Like, because it was 25 years. Did God always know? Of course he did. Like the moment this ram was born, God knew what he was going to do with this ram. This was going to be the alternative. This was going to be the sacrifice. This was going to be the one that would take the place. And my encouragement for us today, church, is if you want to live a life where you're just going on the shallow stuff and you're just saying, well, you know, this thing and that thing, and you keep my focus, oh, Lord, I couldn't do this, couldn't do that, or you're going to step it up and you're going to go, Lord, I'm going to make you Lord. And even when you ask for the most costly things, I think God had come to Abraham many times and asked them for the next thing and the next thing. But when God came to Abraham this time, he came for the one last thing. He came for his only son. And church, God's coming to your life and he's asking you for things and he's wondering where your gaze is, because where your gaze is where you're going to go. Where your gaze is where your heart is. Where your gaze is, that's your treasure. Where your worship is, that's your treasure. And when all was said and done, God said, will you worship me when it's good, Abraham? And will you worship me when it's difficult? Will you worship me on the mountain? And will you worship me on the valley? Will you worship me when you lift the knife? Will you worship me when you wrap your son up? Will you worship me when you walk 3 days with your son, knowing he's going to be the sacrifice? Will you worship me knowing you're going to have to give up the very thing you prayed for 25 years? Will you continue to worship me? And guess what? Time after time after time, Abraham kept succeeding. He kept passing. And church, God's coming to our hearts today. And he said, hey, I want you to make sure your gaze is on me. When he looked up, he saw a ram caught in the thicket. And this is where God is so incredible. See, because there's provision always on the other side of surrender. This is where God is so unbelievably amazing. Because it looks like surrender, but it always gets to something better. It looks like surrender. It looks like loss, but it's always multiplication. It looks like he's taken away, but he's always going to multiply. It's like, are you sure, Lord? Are you sure? I know there's times like that in your life. You're like, I want to give this up, but are you sure, Lord? Can I do this? Will it be worth it? What happens if it doesn't work out? Let me tell you this. It was always going to work out because the ram was always there because God always provides. And after he chose, after he made his decision, the Lord says, okay, I know, I see it. And verse 26, look where it gets to, verse 17, because Abraham didn't withhold his son, God says, I will surely bless you. Wow. But Lord, I don't want to sacrifice. But son, you don't realize it's going to lead to your destiny. But Lord, I don't want to give that thing up. But you don't realize it's going to lead to your destiny. But Lord, I want to live a double life because sin is fun. Yeah, but you don't realize it's going to rob you of your destiny. Come on, all of us are in different places. All of us are in different places. But look at what it says. But Abraham, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as stars in the sky and as the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. See, Abraham not only got Isaac back, but he got more than Isaac. He got a covenant confirmed. He got a future unlocked and he got blessed and multiplied. Church, we're here today and you're thinking, well, does God really want this thing? Not really, but he wants you. He just wants to know, has that thing got you? Has it got you? Because if it's got you, then you're in big trouble. Does it really matter about this thing or that thing or me dealing? Well, if it's sin, it's sin. But if it's got you, then he hasn't got you. If it's got you, then you don't have control. If you can't give it up, then it's got you. And I want to say this today, that the only person that can hold you, the only person that can take care of your life is God himself. Amen. He's the only one. He's the only one. There's a future for you. There's a destiny for you. But sin is going to separate us from all that God has for us. Judas. Anybody remember Judas? Are you telling me that the plan of God for Judas was to be part of the 12 disciples and then at the last minute betray him and hang himself on a tree? No way. The plan for Judas was that he would be one of the 12, that he would birth the church, that he would be one of the guys that would do it all, that he'd be one of the guys that would live for him. But along the way, Judas got consumed by something else. And guess what? He had Jesus living with them. Like, come on, guys. This was your living with Jesus. Everywhere we go, oh, where's Jesus? He's always there. Anytime they lost him, where's Jesus? Like, they had the most incredible times with Jesus. And after 3 years, it still wasn't enough. And Jesus was like, I fancy the silver more than him. What? I fancy my girlfriend more than him. You know what I'm saying? I fancy my life more than him. I fancy that sin. Come on. Like, guys, you know, if we took that sin, if we took that thing, whether it be a drink, whether it be whatever, like something you watch, something you listen to, it was something you do. If we took that thing and literally put it on the scales versus Jesus, you'd never pick that. You'd never. But it doesn't work like that, does it? It starts off with the first step or two, you're in control. And then after that, it has you. and it's taken you all the way. The only way to get out of that is usually a lot of snot and tears and repentance. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the only way. It's like you just come to this place like, I'm so broken, Lord. And you just fall before him and you surrender. Surrender's messy. Surrender's costly. Surrender you'll never understand. Surrender is always about your heart. Your heart is trying to dominate you, but God needs to lead you. He needs to be the Lord of your life. God has a better plan for you. Abraham would never have stepped into his destiny if he had never been willing to sacrifice Isaac. Think about that just for a moment. Abraham would never have stepped into his destiny if he wasn't willing to sacrifice Isaac, but he was. Wow. Wow. Search our hearts, Lord. That's where we're praying today. Come on, let's pray just for a minute, church. Can we stand together? What are you holding? What are you holding on to? Let's close our eyes just for a minute. Let that question just ponder on your heart. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? What's the Isaac that the Lord's speaking? Take courage and surrender. Take courage and let go. Jesus, you're wonderful. Jesus, you're wonderful. Lord, we pray for your love. We pray for your restoration. We pray for your hope. This is a message of hope. The true story is if Abraham wasn't willing to sacrifice Isaac, as crazy as it sounds, he would have destroyed his own life. Whoever will give up their life for my sake will find it. Whoever will try to hold on to their life will lose it. The way of the kingdom is completely upside down from the way of the world. The way of the world says I work hard and I get what I deserve. The way of the kingdom says you get unmerited favor and unmerited grace. The way of the world says I work hard and I get what I get from my hands. And the way of the kingdom is I'll give you more than you could ever dream or imagine. I'll give you more than you ever deserve. I'll show mercy when you don't deserve it. I'll give you grace when you haven't earned it. I'll give you new mercies every morning. I'll give you love that is uncontainable. I'll give you a future that you can barely and scarcely believe. And all I'm asking is that you would be willing to make me Lord of your life. Lord of your life. Not second, not third, not competing. Lord of your life. And so, Lord, I pray today. Come on, church, this is what we're praying. That you would make him Lord. That he would be first place, third place, every place. Not my will, but yours be done. This is the prayer of surrender. This is the prayer of surrender. This is the ultimate surrender. Jesus had lived the perfect life. But to go to the cross to take the final step, he had to let go of himself. He had to die to self. And for you to go to the place of your destiny, for you to go to the place that God has for you, it will take a similar prayer. Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. Don't let your finances get in the way. Don't let your kids get in the way. Don't let your husband or girlfriend or boyfriend get in the way. Don't let yourself get in the way. It's too dangerous. He'll destroy it all. You'll destroy it all. And definitely don't let sin get in the way. Come on, let's pray together. Why don't you pray today, Lord, you're going to help my life afresh. Why don't you pray the boldest prayer you could pray? Lord, come, search my heart. Tell me what I need to let go of. Why don't you pray the boldest prayer? Lord, come, reveal whatever I need to let go of today. Nothing's off the table. I don't know if I can do it, but with your help, I think I can. Come on, start to pray some bold prayers, guys. You can't hide it. I know you think you can, but you won't. It's not about me and it's not about anybody else finding out. This is about God knows. God knows. And he wants to set you free. This is for freedom that Christ died, for freedom. So Lord, I pray today you would search our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would really begin to speak to us and talk to us. Let it not be another Sunday. Let it not be another time where we go through. Let it not be another week that comes up. Let it be a defining moment. Let it be a defining time. Lord, I thank you for this day. It was not a day that Abraham ever prayed for, but I tell you what, it was the day that he thanked God for the rest of his life. Because it was the day that he finally and completely surrendered to God. He made him Lord over everything. And I pray today, Lord, that today would be a defining moment for each and every one of us. This is not about salvation now. This is about surrendering our whole lives to God. This is about giving him our everything. This is about letting go of everything and saying, Lord, I'm not sure I'm going to do it, but I'm going to give it to you because you're the only one that matters. You're the only one that matters. Lord, I pray that you would take our sacrifice. I pray you would take our lives. And as we would worship you, Romans 12 says, it's our reasonable worship is to sacrifice everything. That, Lord, that you would strengthen us and equip us and begin to remind us and begin to speak words of life and hope and dreams and destiny. Lord, thank you for the plans that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, that you are not prepared to do it with a half-broken us, but you're willing to transform us all along the way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.